Brothers and sisters, we are looking at this passage in the Holy Scriptures where the Apostle Paul is defending his ministry to the Thessalonians. If you remember the context, he'd had a few brief weeks with a mission team there in Thessalonica. The church had sprung up, and then because of persecution, they'd had to flee. But in response to enemies who were criticizing Paul, trying to drag him down, he has to write to defend what they'd done amongst them. And of course, what Paul's really doing is he's seeking to defend the gospel itself. He wants to reassure this young church. They have received the truth, that this is the real word of God. So I'd like us to focus this evening on verses 5 through 12. Because I believe there's an important lesson they can teach us about the work of evangelism. And about our call to be faithful witnesses for Christ here in this place. Because I think in these verses we've got a wonderful example in Paul and his team to emulate. An example of how to overcome cynicism with Christ-like character. That's what I'd like to direct our attention to. It's an example of how to overcome cynicism with Christ-like character. Because Paul's describing here how he and his team first ministered amongst the Thessalonians and the Christ-like character that they showed that was so convincing to the Thessalonians, that their lives confirmed the truths that they were preaching. So again, if we just try to imagine the kind of on-the-ground situation when Paul and the team first arrive in Thessalonica. There were many traveling speakers, orators, cults, philosophies, schools, religions in the ancient Greek world, all competing for people's loyalty. And all of a sudden, to the average Thessalonian, here's this strange new thing. Who is this, by all accounts, rather odd-looking, small little man? And this group of Jews and Gentiles together, and they're announcing that the Jewish prophets have their words come true, that the Savior of the world has appeared, that it's possible to have eternal life, to know God, to be given forgiveness for your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. What strange new thing is this? And there must have been people who would have viewed all of that with suspicion. A kind of jaded cynicism. It's human nature. Who is this Paul? What's he really after? What's in it for him? Because the cults and the wandering teachers, they're looking for people's money. They're looking for people's support. They're all competing for people's donations. Well, here's just another one. What's he after, really? What's in it for him? And so Paul tells us here that very purposefully, They went about the gospel ministry very differently. They ministered freely to the people, not looking for anything in return, not seeking anything from the Thessalonians. If you look at what he says in verses 5 to 6, Paul and the team did not use flattery. They did not use fine words to try to disguise a secret agenda that they wanted the people's money and applause. They didn't use fine-sounding words as a cloak or a mask to hide that they were really coveting what was not theirs. They didn't tell people what they wanted to hear just so they could get their hands on their money. And verse 6, they're not seeking fame. They're not seeking praise, glory from men. They didn't make any demands on the Thessalonians. They're not asking him for anything, but they just freely proclaimed the gospel. Giving and not getting. And then look at verse 9, because it's even clearer. Paul there talks about their labor and toil. Paul and the team worked hard with their own hands to provide for themselves, and they drew support from other churches in this new missionary field. Toiling and laboring night and day, Paul as a tent maker presumably, so they would not be a burden to the Thessalonians, so they wouldn't be a financial burden. They didn't want to cost them anything. They didn't want the Thessalonians to have to pay to feed them and to house them and give them hospitality. But they sacrificed so that everything they did could be free. Paul says more about this elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 9, if you're familiar with that passage, where he goes a little further and he says, actually, because I have to preach the gospel and I'm compelled, I have to, there's no choice in that for me. So what can I do to have a reward? Well, I don't claim the right that I have, the Lord says that I have to have a living given to me from preaching the gospel. But I freely give that up so that I can have something to boast about and to show that he was different. And that's what he was doing amongst the Thessalonians. So this is the first thing. I mean, what a really powerful witness in how they were living. How they were totally different from everybody else who was out to grab something. And of course, we should see in that Paul is following our Lord Jesus himself, who came not to be served, but to serve. Who had nowhere to lay his head. Although he was rich, he became poor, that we might become rich. And the Lord's whole ministry as a poor, itinerant preacher, and giving up everything to save us. And that's because their lives match the message of the gospel. We have a gospel of free grace, of God freely pardoning us, giving us a free salvation, not because of something we earn, not because of any goodness in us. So I think this is so helpful for us. Because brothers and sisters, the honest truth is that so many people around us are cynical and suspicious about Christians. They're cynical and suspicious about the church. What are we really after? There's been one or two times I can think of in the past in our church where we've given a diaconal gift to a family in need. And I can think of a family in particular, they hesitated to take it because they were thinking there's some kind of catch, or that they'd have to, well, do we have to give some money to the church or something like that? It's how people think. And there have been so many scandals, so many charlatans who've lied and exploited people that people are incredibly cynical about churches. So if we are going to be sharing the gospel here, we need to learn from Paul and think carefully how in our actions and in our lives, we don't give that wrong impression. That we're here to give Christ, to give freely and to give generously. We're not looking for anything from the people of the Howard Estate. We're not looking to get our hands on anything from them. So if we have an offering box in the services and a visitor comes in, We should say that we're not expecting you to give something. If we're offering a meal or there's a special meeting, we're glad to do so, expecting nothing in return. And so this is the first way that we do freely and generously, is how we can overcome cynicism with Christ-like character. Well, then the second thing I want to point out to us is Paul also reminds the Thessalonians of the gentleness with which he ministered amongst them. He says, you know, as an apostle of Christ, he could have made demands. He's an emissary of the king, and he's an apostle. But he was gentle, like a nursing mother cherishes her own children. I mean, what a beautiful picture of love and of care and gentleness. And then in verse 11, Paul uses a different analogy. He says he was also like a father to them, to comfort them, to teach them, to challenge them. So like a mother and a father caring for their own children. That's the affection that came across from Paul. His heart was for them. So he doesn't say he was like a military commander giving orders. He wasn't like a manager telling employees what to do. He wasn't a taskmaster, getting people to work, but like a mother and father, gentle. So what does that mean? Well, surely it means Paul valued each individual, respected each person made in the image of God, no matter how lowly their earthly status. Think about how our Lord again, is the supreme example. In the Gospels, the most vulnerable people, the most helpless people, the most despised people, and the Lord Jesus welcomes them, has time for them. Now, nobody's ever written off. And that's as remarkable today, if you live like that, as it was in the ancient world. No doubt he was patient and he respected people as he explained the gospel. One commentator actually says there's a little bit of a debate about how to translate some of the Greek in verse 7, but one commentator says really the image here is of a mother bending over to her baby, cooing and making baby noises and coming down to her baby's level to give reassurance. He came down to people's level and met them where they're at. And no doubt he was doing everything he could to help anyone in need. If there was a practical need, how important it was to love them, to care for them. So again, of course, we're seeing the character of the Lord Jesus in Paul. There's those wonderful words that it's one of the few statements where the Lord talks about himself and his own character. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I mean, of all the things the Lord wants us to know about himself, who he is, meek, gentle, lowly, caring for others, not putting burdens on people, but helping them with the ones they've got. So again, to overcome people's cynicism, we need to follow the Lord's example. It's about having compassion. And as we're meeting folks, who knows what's going on in their lives? Who knows what damage sin has done? Everyone's so good at putting on a good face, aren't they? But who knows what lies behind that, what agony people are going through, how lost people are. And what they'll need from us is gentleness and kindness, because there's not much of that in the world. It means taking time, being helpful with people, not being too busy for them, but being gentle and sensitive. So again, may the Lord help us to do that, to show the love of Christ practically. Well, then third, and just briefly, Paul says that they shared their lives with the people in verse 8. They'd become really so dear. And so clearly there was something authentic and transparent about how they were living before the people. As we've been reflecting on before, everything they were doing was done with integrity. Who they were in public matched who they were in private, and they were like an open book for people to look at their lives. But I think really more than that, the sense here of what he's saying is the gospel wasn't a job. It wasn't a hobby. But it involved their whole lives, and they were sharing their whole lives with the people. The gospel had such a grip on them, had so changed them, and then they were sharing their whole lives with the people, giving them love, time, energy, attention, getting to know people, coming alongside people. I'm stealing this phrase from a book I've read once, but Paul didn't believe in drive-by evangelism. You know, it's not like a drive-by shooting where you confront someone and you're going to shoot out the truth and then you make your escape. It's evangelism that was relational, about getting to know people and them know you. And again, they only had 3 weeks. So again, it's about quality, not quantity. Even in that 3 weeks, it's that they were so genuine in sharing life and loving people that it had this profound impact. I can't remember who said it to us in a Wednesday evening prayer meeting, but a lot of people today are going to kind of belong to us before they believe. They're going to be attracted to Christians when they see them living a very different kind of life. When they see a peace that a Christian has, when they see the goodness that's in the church, people will kind of be on the fringes and around and say, even if they're not Christians yet, well, that's kind of my church, my place, my people, my friends. And there'll be a kind of belonging and attaching before they might even come to believe. And I think that's partly what you're seeing here in the Thessalonians. So brothers and sisters, there's a lot here to challenge us, but hopefully also to help us have the right approach, heart, about how to reach people with the gospel, learning from Paul's example. And it just struck me again, just a few minutes in the building's AGM, we have such an opportunity where God's put us here to do all of these things, to be alongside people, to love them, to patiently get to know them, perhaps over years, share our lives, and through that have many opportunities to show them Christ and to tell them about Christ. So we can overcome their cynicism with Christ-like character. Let me pray. Our gracious Lord and Saviour, our Master and Friend. Lord, we worship your holy and wonderful character, that you are truthful and righteous, loving and gracious. And we thank you that we can read and see in Paul, as he was growing as a Christian, a Christ-like character, to how he ministered to others and showed them Christ, not just through the preaching of the truth, but through his life. And Lord, we want to be the same. We want to follow, Lord, in your steps. And we pray that you would give us the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to do so. We do pray, Lord, you'd help us to be faithful witnesses in this place, to show the gentleness and the love and the kindness of Christ. And we humbly ask, Lord, that you would work through us to gather in a people for your praise, to gather in a people from this estate for your glory. And we just humbly ask, Lord, that you would work through us, help us to show Christ-like character. In our Saviour's name we pray. Amen.